Thanks for downloading this podcast. I'm Kelly Beatty of Sky and Telescope magazine, and tonight we're going on a tour of the stars and planets that you'll see overhead during May. The last week of this month might feature some unusual celestial fireworks, a dramatic meteor shower. But for now, I'm just going to tease you with that, and I'll give you the details later. These days, the sun doesn't set until nearly 8 o'clock, so it's not really dark until well after dinner time. May opens with the moon just making its entrance into the evening sky. On the 1st, look for a thin crescent low in the west soon after sunset. It'll be framed by two reddish stars. Below is Aldebaran, the angry eye of Taurus the bull. Off to the left, by about twice the width of your clenched fist at arm's length, is Betelgeuse, marking the shoulder of Orion the hunter. Each night thereafter, watch as the moon's crescent fattens up, and as it swings farther to the left, away from the sunset point, by a little more than one fist. These changes are showing you that the moon is moving around Earth in its orbit. One full lunar cycle, from new moon to new moon, takes 29.5 days, which astronomers call a synodic month. Speaking of cycles, we all know that the planets, like Earth, move around the sun. The farther out they are, the longer it takes to complete one orbit. Innermost Mercury whips around in just 88 days. Venus takes about 7.5 months, and Mars 1.8 years. These three worlds move rather quickly around the sky. Mercury, for example, makes a brief appearance in the evening sky this month. To find it, watch where the sun sets, and then, about 45 minutes later, look one fist above the sunset point. The best days to look will be roughly in the last half of May, especially around the 22nd. But in a couple of weeks, it'll zip around in its orbit and be too close to the sun. Next month, it'll reappear in the morning sky before dawn. But the outer planets take their sweet time. Jupiter needs 12 years to circle the sun, and Saturn takes 30 years. What this means for sky watchers back here on Earth is that these two giant worlds show up in roughly the same location from one year to the next against the stars. A year ago, my podcast described how to find Jupiter and Saturn in the evening sky, and this month they're back for an encore. Jupiter is easiest to find, a slam dunk in fact. It's over in the west about halfway up at sunset. It outshines Betelgeuse, Aldebaran, and all the stars around it. Above Jupiter, about one fist away, are the twins of Gemini, with Pollux on the left and Castor on the right. To Jupiter's left, by about two fists, is the star Procyon, in Canis Minor, the little dog. To Jupiter's right, three fists away, is Capella, a name derived from the Latin word for goat. It's the brightest star in the constellation Auriga, who, in Roman mythology, is a charioteer who moonlights as a goat herder. Swing your view well to the left of Jupiter, a good four fists away, until you reach the bright star Regulus, in Leo the Lion. Keep moving along that imaginary arc, and you'll run into a very obvious bright star tinged with a peachy color. That's no star, it's Mars, the red planet. Keep going, now sweeping down toward the eastern horizon, and you'll spot Saturn low down. If you don't see it yet, wait for an hour or so. This ringed wonder reaches opposition, a point opposite the sun in the sky, on May 10th, so it rises at sunset, crosses the sky all night, and sets around dawn. Mars was at opposition last month, and in the weeks since, its location has shifted a lot toward the west. By now you've probably noticed that Saturn, Mars, and Jupiter, Mercury too if you spot it, lie along a giant arc in the sky that extends down below the horizon to meet with the sun. This line has a name, the ecliptic, and it marks the sun's annual path among the constellations of the zodiac. And because the bright planets have orbits that are very nearly in the same plane as Earth's, these wanderers appear along the ecliptic too. This month, Jupiter lies in the constellation Gemini, Mars is parked in Virgo, and Saturn is in Libra, all members of the zodiac. The evening skies of May don't feature any strikingly obvious constellations like Big Beefy Orion, which is sunk from view in the west, but there is one obvious pattern that just about everyone knows, the Big Dipper. To find it, all you have to do is look up, way up. You should see the Big Dipper looming over you with its curved handle bent upward, and its four-sided bowl apparently overturned as if dumping soup into some imaginary pot. Even though it's so well known, the Big Dipper isn't truly a constellation. It's what astronomers call an asterism, which is simply any group of stars that make an obvious pattern. The Dipper is part of a larger constellation called Ursa Major, the Big Bear. Right now, this woolly beast is on its back, with the stars in the Dipper's handles serving as the bear's tail, the bowl marking its back, and its head off to the left. Okay, I've kept you guessing long enough. Let's talk meteors. Every May, there's a weak meteor shower called the Eta Aquarids that peaks on the 5th, 6th, and 7th. If you can get outside early enough, while it's still dark before dawn, you might be rewarded with some graceful, long-lasting Earth grazers in the pre-dawn sky. But the real excitement comes later this month, when our planet is scheduled to plow through a dense stream of dust particles shed by a little-known comet designated 209P. It's also called Linear, named for the telescope that discovered it. In any case, dynamicists think the crossing could result in a brief but intense meteor shower, maybe even a storm of at least 1,000 shooting stars per hour. So everything is go for the best meteor display in 2 decades. The moon will be a narrow, waning sliver just a few days from new, not a factor at all. And all that zipping and flashing in the sky should reach its peak when it's dark across virtually all of North America. For those of you on the East Coast, the predicted peak is around 3 a.m. early on the morning of Saturday, May 24th. That's 2 a.m. in the Central Time Zone, 1 a.m. Mountain, and midnight Pacific Time. If you live in North America and your skies are clear that night, stay up to watch the show. The darker your sky, the more meteors you'll see. They can show up anywhere in the sky, but they'll appear to radiate from an obscure constellation low in the north called Camelopardalis, the giraffe. See skyandtelescope.com for more details about this special celestial treat. Get up early again, one morning later, to see a very thin crescent moon perched wonderfully close to Venus. They'll be less than 3 degrees apart as seen from the east coast of North America, and even closer out west. Next month, we'll try to spot some of the lesser-known constellations in the late spring sky. Until then, I wish you clear skies.